It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. We're going to move through a range of topics, including the dairy crisis, redistricting, where the political parties are finding agreement. Where do you think Republicans and Democrats could be working together to improve state policy? How do you think lawmakers could be helping dairy farmers and rural communities right now? What questions do you have for Speaker Voss? We're at 800-642-1234. Robin Voss has represented the 63rd Assembly District since 2005, which includes a large portion of Racine County, including the communities of Burlington, Rochester, Sturtevant, and Union Grove. He's been Assembly Speaker since 2013. Representative Voss, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So last week, Governor Evers called the legislature into a special session to address the state's dairy crisis, and he hoped to see action as soon as tomorrow, but you've said that there won't be floor votes on the governor's proposals this week. Can you give us a status update on that?
You know, that certainly could have happened, but because of the process that Governor Evers chose to follow, we're going to go through our normal process, too. You know, the ag crisis is something that really hits every single Wisconsinite, be it someone living in a city who just has to buy their food or someone who lives in a more rural area and grows it. So there are certainly things that we can work together on. But the normal way that we have gone about it, take an example, our water quality task force, which was formed by Republicans but done in a bipartisan way. Before any of it was announced, we actually took the time to meet with Governor Evers. We took the time to explain to his staff, here's all the things that are in the bills. We hope you'll put out, a supportive statement so we can show that we're united in trying to address this problem. He didn't do it exactly that way, but we thought that was the best way to do it. So with the ag crisis, if he would have taken the time to maybe reach out like we did and say, here's some of the ideas that we'd like to work on, perhaps there are things we can do together, it probably could have made the process go a little bit quicker. But now, because none of us were involved in it, frankly, from what I understand, even the Farm Bureau wasn't involved in these, we're going to go through our normal process because there could be some good ideas in there. But frankly, our members just have to take the time to talk to folks in their district and actually understand what's in the policies, because from first blush, there are some good ideas in there, but it's an awful lot of rehashing ideas that he had in the budget, which really just expanded the bureaucracy in Madison and added more state positions.
Representative, the governor says these proposals would collectively cost $8.5 million. Is that price tag something the state can afford to spend right now?
Oh, I think it's something we could definitely make an investment. Frankly, I think it's probably too small. I certainly think that there are ideas that we could look at that would have a much bigger impact than hiring bureaucrats in Madison.
What would make a greater impact?
When you look at the things that cost a farmer the most, right, it is property taxes, it is health insurance. One idea, I was just at a Farm Bureau social I stopped by yesterday, and the idea that they said would be much more impactful than anything Governor Evers offered would actually be to be able to allow sole proprietors like a farmer to deduct their health insurance premium. So I think there are other ideas which would do an awful lot more to help the farming community, but it's not to say that some of the ones that he's proposed aren't good that we're going to take a look at, but I just want to make sure we do something that's meaningful and not just political and kind of checking a box.
Republicans have also been talking about approving a tax cut this year. Is there enough funding to approve an aid package for dairy farms and cut taxes for a broad swath of the state's population?
Yeah, when you look at how Wisconsin has changed, remember when Republicans took over, there was no money in our rainy day fund. We had a $3 billion deficit. We had to make dramatic changes to be able to right-size our budget. We've done that. Now we see an $800 million increase. Under state law, half of that is automatically required to go into the state's rainy day fund. So we'll have almost $1 billion in our state savings account, God forbid, when a bad time happens. But the other money should definitely be either used to reduce debt or used to be able to go back to the taxpayers. We are not going to expand the size of government, as many of my Democratic friends have talked about, with this one-time money. We know that it's possible because of the growing economy. It actually looks like it's going to be ongoing from what the Fiscal Bureau says, because it's an increase in corporate revenues based on the tax cuts that were enacted by Congress. So it's definitely those tax cuts aren't going away. So we can assume that the revenue isn't going away either. So I think we should make a long-term investment in either tax relief or debt reduction and not use it to grow the size of government.
Let's take a call now. Eric in Madison is with us. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Thanks for my call. Yeah, what's your plans for this failed Foxconn program where we spent $4.5 billion in taxpayers' money? We We've confiscated land under emolument clause. The town of Pleasant Prairie and Racine County have experienced huge debt load. Their credit rating has gone down. They have no way to pay back the loans that they've invested for infrastructure, and the jobs aren't there. It's a failure, and our roads are a failure.
Eric,
talk about a rainy day fund. How about a bumpy road
fund? All right, Eric, I want to pause right there and get a reaction from Speaker Voss. You know, we didn't hear any mention of Foxconn in Governor Evers' address. Could you imagine the state investment decision would turn out this way?
Well, first of all, Eric obviously gets his false facts from the Democrat talking point. So let's look at the reality of where we are. Not a single dollar of state money has gone to Foxconn since this project began, because the only incentives are based on whether or not they create the jobs that are required and they make the investments that are actually also required to trigger the partnership between the state and the private sector, which gives a small portion of the money that they invest back. So let's remember, number one, that hasn't happened yet. Number two, I live in Racine County. This guy obviously has not been to the site, because if you go on the Twitter feed, Foxconn Aerials, or if you just drive by the site, you will see massive construction. Tens of thousands of people have already been working on the construction. We have seen that there are huge amounts of investment that are going on all around that area.
Do you anticipate?
Mount Pleasant has not had its credit rating downgraded. That's also another false fact. So, you know, there's so many lies in there that it's hard for me to refute them all.
Well,
but just go and look at the facts.
Do you anticipate Foxconn will make its employment numbers this year?
I do. They actually have already announced that they're going to meet it. Remember, they have to be a little bit over 500 jobs, building their way up to the 13,000, because it's a graduated process. So they've already said they're going to meet and potentially exceed that. And I think that's one of the best parts of this plan. If they don't, they don't get any money.
Let's take another call. Ann is in Campbellsport. Ann, hi.
Hi. I just have one question for Representative Voss. Do you recognize that gerrymandering is wrong, and are you going to work with Governor Evers to end it?
Ann, thanks. Last week, the governor announced a nonpartisan commission that will advise how the state's election maps should be redrawn after the 2020 census. What is your reaction to the governor establishing that commission?
Well, first of all, the state constitution requires that the legislature, elected lawmakers, are the ones who actually write the maps. Now, under our process, Governor Evers has the right to veto the maps if he doesn't think that they're to his liking. So the process will go just like any normal bill. A normal process is the one that we're going to follow. Number two, if you look at the actual results of what's happened in Wisconsin, I know Democrats, because they have lost elections, don't forget, our majority was earned in 2010, where we got 60 out of 99 seats under maps that were drawn by a court. We earned the majority in the 90s and the 2000s under maps that were drawn by courts. So we have had the majority under a bunch of different circumstances. And this is a clear example where Democrats fielding faulty candidates and doing it in a way where their agenda does not appeal to anybody outside big cities like Madison and Milwaukee have failed to earn the votes of Wisconsinites. Because remember, in 2018, there were 55 districts that Tammy Baldwin carried when she got 55% of the vote. So clearly a Democrat can carry many parts and many districts that we drew, even if the rest of the state doesn't necessarily go that way.
Speaker Voss, let's look at process this time. Last time around, the maps were created in this tightly controlled room at a Madison law office. Democrats not part of the process. Will Democratic lawmakers be part of the process in this decade?
You know, we certainly hope so. I mean, they have the right to introduce a bill just like we do, every single legislator. And that's one of the other things. Citizens don't introduce bills. They have to be introduced by a legislature, a member of the legislature. So we're going to follow that traditional process. And they certainly have the right to introduce competing proposals, to go out and build support for it, just like they do, especially having Governor Evers. I'm sure he is going to do that. But let's remember, today, supposedly, they're going to announce another step in this phony, faulty process, where Democrats are going to say, we're nonpartisan, and we're going to use a process that we create, once again, with no input from anybody else, to say that maps will be nonpartisan. That's why, you know, they have every right to do it. They can create whatever maps they want to, but the legislature is going to go through the same process that we always have.
What would the downside be of getting more input on how the state's election maps should be redrawn?
Oh, they definitely have the right to do that. I mean, and we'll have a map, but the whole idea of having folks testify to something that's a concept as opposed to a concrete proposal is, once again, this is just Democrats rallying their base. This is not something that actually has a huge appeal to anybody outside of a Democrat activist. And that's what I've seen as I've gone through the process. And that's why they are doing this, to really appeal to people who are already kind of in their side of the aisle.
Republican senators had to sign non-disclosure pledges to look at maps in their own districts. Do you anticipate Republican lawmakers will be required to sign these secrecy oaths to look at drafts as these maps come together?
Well, first of all, Kate, you're showing your bias, because calling it a secrecy oath is the Democrat talking point. So first of all, they were not secrecy oaths. They were done where anybody
non-disclosure
with a lawyer.
Right.
Yeah,
non-disclosure pledges. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody who goes to meet with a lawyer knows that when you are in the middle of a trial, you can't go out and talk about it, because you could potentially be called as a witness, or you could be brought into, you know, having that discussion outside with your attorney. So when you meet with an attorney, there's an understanding that it's kept confidential. So I don't know if we're going to use that process again. That was not my choice last time, but I certainly, you know, don't want to say we will not until we talk to our attorneys and make sure that we follow the law and do it in a way that allows us to have the best possible maps adopted for the state of Wisconsin.
It is a conversation with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. How do you think Republicans can work with a Democratic governor? Where should the parties dig in? Where do you see room for compromise? And where should lawmakers increase their efforts right now? What issues matter most to you? Share your questions, your story, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Representative Robin Voss for more discussion, more conversation here on the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your priorities for the state legislature at the end of its law writing session approaching in a few weeks? Is your top concern water quality or health care, education, something else? Share your priorities, 800-642-1234. And Speaker Voss stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Steve is joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi. First, I want to thank the speaker for calling out the bias. I think more of that is necessary. And one of the things that this shows is that, you know, you guys changed the GAB a couple years ago to have an elections commission, which I think there's three Democrats nominees and three Republican nominees that are on that board. And yet it's still being run by Madison liberal hacks, and the Republican nominees don't appear to be standing up to it. Wondering what you guys can do to get that to happen, or move the elections committee, the staffers out of Madison, so we can get some fairness in the process.
Steve, thanks for the call. Assembly Speaker, what is your take on the elections process?
You know, when we set up the new elections commission, we intentionally had it even between Republicans and Democrats, which would mean in order to make decisions that would impact on our elections, you'd have to have both sides agreeing. So we would not have what we had before, which was a rogue agency that continually favored liberals. So I think now we have a process. Yes, it's frustrating because we have to get Democrats to agree that voter fraud is a problem. We have to get Democrats to agree that if somebody doesn't actually live in an address, you have to say that they no longer are entitled to vote there, which is what state law says. We have three Democrats on the commission who are perfectly fine with allowing 200,000 people that aren't verified to live at their address, that probably have either, many have either moved or left the state, to still be on our voting roll so people could potentially commit fraud. I think that is egregious. I think it's wrong. But I certainly think that the system that we set up, which says you have to get both sides to agree, is going to create this kind of frustration. So, yes, I wish we were able to fix it. I wish we were able to get a process that was more fair. But when you have Democrats involved in helping to run elections like this, sometimes you have these unintended consequences that we really can't get around.
Speaker Voss, we've touched down on a number of issues here so far, but what are your top priorities for the Assembly before lawmakers head back to their districts in a month or so? There's very little time.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I formed the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality, so those bills will come up for hearings and votes in February. We know that we have a package that we have brought forward, which is going to make sure that we keep people who deserve to be behind bars there. So we're going to increase some penalties. We passed a bill already dealing with the ability for people to have, the ability to go back into the private sector after they've served their time. So I think there's a package of bills that will really hopefully keep people safer. We've seen an increase in crime, especially in areas outside of Milwaukee. So we know that that's a topic that's important to many people around the state. We are also looking to finish the bills that we put forward on adoption, on suicide prevention. We're going to figure out a way to make sure we get that money back to the citizens of Wisconsin and not spend it on growing the bureaucracy. And I will say, I give the Governor Evers credit for finally recognizing that rural Wisconsin has issues too, especially with the ag crisis that's happening. So we'll definitely come forward and deal with that as well. So we have a busy calendar, but our intention is to get everything done by the end of February, which has been the norm for the past 8 to 10 years.
Let's go to Ed now in Madison. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Assemblyman Voss, I appreciate the work that the Assembly did this past week in passing a bill to fund the work on dyslexia in the schools. I guess the only part that I'm sort of not quite happy with, I've worked in the area of special education for over 25 years, and I've worked with schools directly, with teachers directly, et cetera. What I've found is that there's a handful of programs available that really, really work, but they're expensive. So most school districts go with the option of everything but that type of solution. What in that funding is possible to be used across the state so that school districts can actually hit that topic on the head instead of working a little bit at a time? Those kids can't wait.
Ed, thanks for the call. Speaker Voss, how are you approaching dyslexia in policy?
You know, Ed has a really good point. And we had a Ledge Council study committee led by my friend Bob Culp, who's had a real passion for this issue. And they came out with a package of bills. I have to admit, I didn't appreciate how controversial some of the ways to deal with dyslexia are, where unfortunately some educators feel that the current system is working, and we know that it's not. So that's how we passed that package of bills. You might remember in the budget, we passed the largest increase in special education funding in a generation. So I think that's a positive that every single Republican voted for, because hopefully much of that money will go into making sure that if kids get early intervention, they don't necessarily need to have the same lifelong intervention that could potentially be much more expensive. So I think we're heading in the right direction. I certainly am proud of the work that we've done on that topic, and we'll keep working on it.
Let's go to Steve now in Laval. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to mention to Mr. Voss that the Republicans, it won't matter come next election if they don't get on board with the people of Wisconsin and vote for this medicinal marijuana. You're going to end up losing the whole state. Everything that you guys have worked for is going to go right out the window.
Steve, thanks for the call. Speaker Voss, it sounds like medicinal marijuana is something that Steve would very much support legalizing. You know, where do you feel the legislature is on the issue of marijuana?
You know, I support legalizing medicinal marijuana in a very narrow way. I want to make sure that it's used for people who truly are sick and not for people who say they are. But I think that if we can give people an option, for some folks, it's not a panacea, it's not a cure. But for some people, it's a way to deal with chronic pain. So I have supported that. I was one of the first Republicans to come out in favor of it. And I think that over time, we are able to showcase to other Republicans that this is something that we should consider. And that's why we'll keep moving toward that process. I think we are significantly further along than we were when I began this argument with one other colleague, 4 or 5 years ago. But change like this is not going to happen easily, because we've also seen that in other states, they have had serious issues with it. Increased number of inattentive drivers. How do you deal with folks who are on the job and using medicinal marijuana where they could potentially be fired? So there's a lot of issues that we have to work through to do it right. So have faith that it will happen, but just maybe not as quickly as some people might think, where we could just snap our fingers and make it happen.
Vice President Mike Pence is visiting the Capitol tomorrow for a rally, a school choice rally. In the state budget, Governor Evers proposed scaling back school voucher programs because he says the way they're funded takes money from public schools. Are you planning to expand school choice in Wisconsin this year?
Well, I would love to, but that has zero chance under Liberal Democrats. I mean, we all know that they are bought and paid for by the teachers union, so there is very little chance that they are going to sign up for reform. Even nationwide, Democrats used to be for charter schools, which really are a public school, but doing things in a different way. But once the teachers union kind of said, oh, no, no, never going to happen, they've all backed away from that as well. So the only people who are trying to reform our education system are Republicans like me and my colleagues, where we believe that every parent should have the choice to go to the best school for their kids. Now, I went to a public school where I live. We have excellent public schools, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every single child in that school has the same chance for success. So why would we not do something that is cheaper for taxpayers, because we know it costs less to educate a child in a choice school than it does in a public school, and give the parents the option to choose what's best for their son or daughter? So I would love to expand school choice. We've got a great opportunity to showcase the things that have happened in Wisconsin, where choice students are more likely to graduate from high school, they're more likely to go to college, they have higher satisfaction. So all the indicators really should show an expansion of choice, but because of the politics behind the Democrat Party, I think it's unlikely.
A few seconds left. Attorney General Josh Call has been pushing the legislature to pass a sexual assault kit bill that would make storage policies developed under his predecessor, Brad Schimmel, official state law. The bill passed the Senate. Do you plan to schedule it for a vote in the Assembly?
We're actually going to offer a package this week where we think we've made some improvements to what was passed in the state Senate. We do know that the Attorney General Brad Schimmel, the Republican who Josh Call beat, was the one who put this entire process into place. And now, and of course, Josh Call is taking credit for the work done by somebody else. But either way, so my hope is that we actually get a bill that's passed, but do it in a way that improves the process and not just kind of locks in what was already law and it doesn't necessarily need to happen. So I'm optimistic. We'll show that this week we have a better idea, and hopefully we can get that across the finish line onto Governor Evers' desk.
Speaker Voss, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Robin Voss is Speaker of the State Assembly and represents part of Racine County, including the communities of Burlington, Rochester, Sturtevant, and Union Grove. Just ahead, it's an hour-long conversation about the state of labor unions in our country and here in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.